Hi, everybody. I'm Carrie Diamond, host of Radio Cherry Bomb. You're listening to Superwomen, Superfoods, the first ever Radio Cherry Bomb miniseries. I noticed the subject of wellness was coming up over and over again in interviews with different chefs and bakers, in conversations with friends and fellow entrepreneurs, and in decisions I was making about my own life. Wellness means different things to each of us. Maybe you call it self-care. Maybe you just call it taking care of yourself. But the common thread is a desire to live the best, healthiest life possible. Sometimes, however, that's easier said than done, especially when real life gets in the way. We reached out to four Wonder Women, each of whom approaches the subject of wellness in her own special way. We asked them to share their stories and offer some tips for how they bring wellness into their own lives. I hope you're as inspired as I was as you listen to each of them. First, let's thank our sponsor. This episode of Radio Cherry Bomb is brought to you by Elemis, the number one luxury British skincare brand that just launched in the US. Elemis knows what's good for your body is good for your skin, so feed your skin what it craves with their new superfood skincare range, available exclusively at Elemis.com. And you can get 15% off your first Elemis order with the code CHERRY. I know you know how to spell that. Obviously, I'm super excited about Elemis because many of you know I'm a former beauty editor and love anything beauty related. It's been nice getting to know the Elemis team, and I appreciate their support of our show. That said, you will understand why I'm so excited about the guest of this episode, Wendy Rowe. Wendy has been a makeup artist for more than 20 years and has worked her magic on every top model and for every major fashion magazine and fashion brand. She is the artistic consultant to Burberry for its makeup line, and last year she published the aptly titled Eat Beautiful. Eat Beautiful is truly a beautiful book, from the peach-colored cover to the design to the heartfelt words inside. It's become one of my favorites because Wendy packed it with great recipes, tons of information about superfoods, and of course, lots of practical beauty advice. Have fun listening to our interview. This was the first time I met Wendy, and I really adored talking to her. Wendy Rowe, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I don't want to get all fangirl because I already did in the elevator, but I'm so excited to finally, A, get to know you, and B, interview you, because I worked in beauty for so long, and we never crossed paths that I can remember.
Yeah, that's strange, right? Yeah. Because we worked on lots of different... We both worked on the same
things. We must
together.
Have been the same backstage or the same shoot or something, yeah, and just for whatever reason didn't connect. And then the second reason is I love your book so much,
Yay!
Eat Beautiful by Wendy Rowe. If you haven't seen it, you have to get it, and we are going to talk all about it for the next, however long we talk.
I know.
So thanks for being here. It's freezing out.
I know. I mean, I love being in New York. I've lived here for like 13 years, but I live between London and New York. So it's another home for me. Super exciting. Things happen here. So
but
I
you look
it.
So cozy when you got out of the car. You had on your Burberry duffel coat.
Yeah, that's my Paddington
sweater.
Bear coat.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in London. Just a regular place in London. I went to school in a regular, what we call a comprehensive, which I would call a state school. I was pretty, it was pretty normal.
I love your accent so much, but you must get that in New York all the time.
Yeah, I do. But then sometimes I listen to myself talking. I think, sounds a bit down, a bit monotone. But then I suppose you can have a bit of irony with that. You know,
absolutely. So how did beauty become an interest?
I was always interested in fashion, music. That was a big thing for me, and imagery. So I suppose growing up in London, there was lots of, bands and stuff. Everyone had a look then. You know, it was like... Bananarama, Madonna, Michael Jackson.
Boy George,
The Cure, you know, everyone Duran Duran, everyone had a look, Wham. Everyone had a kind of a real strong image. So I was drawn to that, and also I was drawn to fashion magazines because I just liked looking at pretty things and girls that look great, and I couldn't figure out why. And, you know, I was kind of into Mary Kwan. Everyone had like a Cindy, which was not a Barbie, your equivalent. We had a Cindy. She had a much bigger head and she was much bigger in general. But I had a Daisy.
Much bigger in general, like not as skinny as Barbie, yeah. Or she had like big boobs or
no,
something?
No, she was just bigger in general, bigger head, bigger body. But I didn't have that. I had a Daisy, which was a doll made by Mary Kwan. And she was much cooler. So I had that. There was little things that I had. You know what? Someone told me a couple of years ago, you know, you can kind of scope out what you're going to be later in life from what you've done as a child. And I started to look back at what I did as a child. And I would always make, like a catalogue or, you know, like a project on fashion. I mean, it was quite simple. I always used to buy the fashion magazines, which was Jackie, which was the kind of fashion and music, you know, Just 17. There were smash hits, had all the all the words to all the songs. Of course, I needed all that. So I'd done projects on that. I used to make perfume out of the roses in my garden and give it to my teachers. And, you know, I put a bit of chalk in there as well. I mean, it was a real concoction.
And chalk because it reminded you of the smell of the classroom?
No, because it was just in the garden. I just grate a little bit of chalk in there and a few other flowers. And I thought I was really concocting. I was like, the funny thing was I used to put it in my mum's her pill, because in the 70s everyone was on Valium, and in her pill bottles and give it to the teachers, like the brown little bottles, and obviously I took the labels off, but you know, mind you, people do that now. They you know, I think it's some of the new beauty things have done it like medicine, haven't they? Anyway, so getting back to the point, yeah, I've always been interested. I loved music. I wanted to go to stage school. My parents were like, who do you think you are? We're kind of regular people.
Stage school meaning acting school?
Yeah, meaning singing, dancing, acting.
Okay. You could have been a Spice Girl.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm probably a bit old for that. I actually done their first video. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I done that.
Wow.
Yeah, the wannabe. I didn't know who they were then. I had no idea. And I didn't think there were going to be anything. Subsequently, I was very wrong. So don't take a bet with me ever. And now I do Victoria again, so everything comes back round in a circle, you know. So I suppose I was always inspired by all of those things and film and, like, the Technicolor films. I remember, like, in our summer holidays, Elvis had died and they played all of his movies. So it was a bit of singing, a bit of dancing, a bit of romance, and it was all very nice colours.
And he was so handsome.
Yes, oh, super handsome, gosh. Yeah. Yeah, so I loved Grease, the first film, Grease. I loved all of those things. And I wasn't a dancer, because I did do tap and ballet and really didn't like being told what to do. And obviously, as a dancer, you need to be told what to do. So that didn't work. And acting, I never really done. And I wasn't tall enough to be a model. That's all. That's the only reason I'm not model, because I wasn't tall enough. No, I'm joking.
Kate Moss hadn't come along yet.
Yeah, exactly.
For those who don't know, Kate was kind of famous in the beginning because she wasn't traditional model size.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I'm even smaller than Kate. So I suppose that you find other avenues. So makeup, transforming things are always, you know, and being practical. You know, I always think makeup's like cooking. You know what, you just need to show what to do. Sometimes you make mistakes, but it's not the end of the world. You know, you can remove it, you can throw it in the bin and start again. So I suppose it was always in my background because I loved all that kind of thing.
So what was your first gig? How'd you break into makeup artistry?
Well, I actually studied graphics. I was a graphic designer first. And we used to do all of the things for Jaeger, Ambrose Allaire. So it was always fashion kind of based. So I'd do the layout. So I was really into typography. And so I'd do all that. So I suppose with fashion is about a whole picture. How I broke into it was one of my best friends at school, who was older than me, was a hairdresser, and he had a boyfriend, and he moved to Paris, which is very cool, obviously, in the time. And he said to me one day, we was in my back garden laying on sun loungers. It was sunny, obviously. And he said to me, I mean, why don't you do makeup and we can go on trips? And it was kind of the era of the supermodel. And I thought, yeah, I mean, that sounds like a great idea. And I thought, yeah, I think I might do that. I'm really naive. I really needed to be naive, because if I knew what I knew now, I wouldn't have done it.
Oh, I say that about everything.
Yeah, I was a bit like, yeah, I can do that. And so I stopped working in graphics, and I put myself back into college. And my dad went berserk. He's like, that's not what you're doing. You had a proper job. And I don't know, I just was like, well, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I had no idea what I was going into. I mean, I remember when I was in college, I remember saying to one of the teachers, I mean, I don't really need to cover spots, and then don't have to cover spots, because I'm just going to do like models. And she was like, well, models might have spots. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to do like catwalk shows. And because I thought that you could just do catwalk shows. I mean, I just didn't have a clue.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's really funny looking back.
Oh, my God. So what was your first assignment where you're like, wow, I'm a working makeup artist?
One of my first gigs was I got paid, you know, was I'd done some headshots for some dancers, and they weren't young. They were kind of probably 30s, you know. So I'd done their makeup. I had to do five of them. It was a little bit out of London, you know. I drove there. I had my toolbox, because that's what people used to have then. You open it
out. I had my makeup in a toolbox back in the day.
Yeah,
I love that.
And I got there, and I was, you know, just trying to do their makeup. And one girl, because I didn't understand this at the time, when I would do a red lip, because that was like really, you need to really get that right, I would hold my breath. And I remember doing it, and I kept on making mistakes. And instead of, obviously now I've been doing this for a long time, making mistakes, it's like, fine, I own it, remove it, whatever. I would just keep on going, and the lips got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I just thought, I just didn't think I could correct that, because I thought that was a fault. So in the end, it was quite near her nose. And I just thought, oh my God, I don't know what to do anymore. And I've been holding my breath for quite a long time. And I just thought, okay, you're done. And I thought I could just like kind of blag that and walk off. And then she looked in the mirror and she went, you made my lips massive. And I was like, well, maybe you should just do it yourself. You know, so that was one of my first gigs. Yeah, I mean, I was mortified. I thought, oh, God, I wonder if she's going to notice. Clearly she did, because it was like Ronald McDonald mouth. I mean, it was horrendous. But, yeah, you know, that's where I started.
Oh, my gosh.
Obviously, I don't have any mistakes anymore.
And the good news, it's only been up from there. So... So tell us a little bit about your career today and what you're doing.
So today...
You're not doing headshots outside of London anymore.
No, thank God for that. Yeah, but I had to do that. You know,
you have to pay your dues.
Yeah, I had to pay my dues. I mean, I lived in Paris. I lived here. I still live here. You know, so now I suppose what I do is I do fashion magazines, you know, all the Vogues, Harper's Bazaar, Allure, which obviously was a kind of a thing that I wanted to do. You know, that was one of my, you know, I'm aspiring to do that. So, I mean, I've hit them. So that's good.
What was one of your like pinch me assignments? Like you couldn't believe you got to do this.
You know, the funny thing is, the longer you're in this business, when you get to achieve something that you wanted very early in your career, it just seems like, got that. That's good. You know, but if I'd got it right at the beginning of my career, I might have mucked it up. You know, I might have gone to my head. So mine's been a very slow, steady progress, like the Capricorn I am. You know, I'd never got a massive break. So I think everything came at a good time for me, so I didn't muck it up because I could have done. I mean, I know what I'm like. I could have got a big head and blown it. My pinch me one was, I suppose, I got a part of campaign. And, you know, before it used to be like they pick a young photographer, it would be like, who's doing Prada? And then it was a young photographer called Cedric Boucher, and he got it, and I got it because I was working with him. We was doing Dazed and Confused at the time.
The magazine.
Yeah. And I got that, and I couldn't believe I got it. We shot for a month. We had to do 2 weeks as a pitch every day. And then they decided, yes, they'll go with him and the team.
Wow, that's not typical.
No, this doesn't happen anymore.
Just for those of you listening who are in food and like, what the hell are you two talking about? That kind of schedule is not typical. Usually just in and out and do.
No, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is, it was a really different way of working, the way they worked, because everyone wanted that campaign and it was prolific and it was, and no one knew who was going to get it, and it was a young person. It wasn't like an established photographer, and it's a big brand, and and then we shot for a month. We was only supposed to be there for 2 weeks, and then they kept on. Well, it was before, you know, you could send stuff over on computer. They'd fax it over, I want to say, and then they'd say, no, we want to change that top, or you want to change this. But we ended up being there for a month. That ship closed to me. Everyone had to, you know, we just didn't know when it was going to end. It finally did end. And it was a great shoot, but that was a bit like, oh my
That's
God,
intense.
I've made it. Subsequently, that was not the case. It opened a few doors, but it didn't go boom, which obviously I wanted. Exciting. No.
So how did wellness and nutrition become your thing?
Okay. So I've always...
Abrupt transition.
Yeah, I've always worked out. Since I was a kid, I think you go back to, you know, what you know. I used to run for Haringey, which is a borough in London. I used to do gymnastics. I've always done sport. I was in the netball team. You know,
like I said before, you could have been the Spice Girls. You would have been Sporty Spice.
Yeah, I would have been Sporty Spice. So I've always done the sport. So that was one of my things. So as I've gone through the years, I've tried everything. There's some things I like. There's some things I'm not into. But that's, you know, everyone's different. And I lived in Paris. I lost quite a lot of weight. Not loads, but... you know, maybe a stone or something. And
tell our American listeners what a stone is.
Oh my God. Was that 14 pounds? Is that 14 pounds? Yeah. And I didn't really understand why, because I was drinking a lot of wine, when in Rome. I realized that all the food there, if it wasn't in season, you couldn't buy it. And stuff didn't look perfect. It looked a bit kind of could look like it's going off, you know, and a bit ugly and, you know, not the normal shape, a bit odd. Anyway, so I realised that then he cooked fresh food. And then when I went back to London, I wanted to eat organic, which at that time was not so easy. But, you know, where I grew up as well, there was farms and stuff. So, you know, I'd go to the farm shops and stuff like that. But then I just started to eat organic. And my mum had always cooked. You know, she always cooked from scratch. It was only when I was a teenager I started eating, like, I would say frozen stuff or ready meals, because it was cool. And, you know, and I was a teenager and I wanted Coca-Cola and I wanted pizza and all, you know.
But and London's the land of all those, you know, crisps and
oh, yeah,
all that
crisps.
Great candy.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but I realised I put on weight and I got bad skin. And then when I went to Paris, it started to drop off. And that's why I realised, okay, I need to eat like this. And I felt better. And that was another thing. So I suppose that's where that's all come from. That's why I like food. And I really like good food. And I've travelled a lot. And I've picked up things. I lived in North Africa for a year. And when you cook there, when you buy chicken, it's warm because they've just killed it. And when you buy fish, you need to descale it and gut it and everything. So you use back to basics. And then you start to go, okay. I mean, I've done cooking at school, but just home economics. It wasn't like fancy or anything. But I knew the basics, and my mum cooked, and my mum baked, and she was a better baker than actually, you know, cooking like stuff with garlic or onions. I mean, that was like a...
Is mum obsessed with the Great British Bake Off?
She would have been.
Oh, your mum passed away. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Right, when did you lose your mum?
Probably about 10 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, she would have loved this book. No, yeah. She would have loved this book.
She'd dedicated it to your mum and dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because when I would go home... The smell of home was cakes. My mum would always be making cupcakes or Victoria sponge or scones or something. There was always cakes. Yeah, so that's for me. I suppose it is kind of like a home thing. And when I cook, I like to have time and, yeah, I really kind of enjoy it. I think a little bit of that. And, you know, I get in my zone a little bit like when I'm doing makeup. I'm in a really good zone. It's kind of a creative zone, yeah. So, you know.
So it's not just how to eat, not just how to eat well became your thing, but also just wellness in general. There's a lot in this book about stress relief, just feeling better in general.
I mean, I suppose because I'm nearly half a century and, you know, life is very up and down, you know, and you need to roll with the bad times. So, you know, I've had things that have not been so great happen, but you know, it's just life. It's not like, you know, massively devastating, but you just need to understand yourself, which is an ongoing process, and to how to deal with certain things that happen and how you can help yourself. And it is trial and error. So I want to say the book is very about me and how I've kind of got through things, and cooking was a really good place for me. And also being at work, well, I know you're going to ask me this question, so I don't know.
Go ahead, go ahead, go for it.
But being at work when you're dealing with people that maybe not have experienced life so much and not dealt with loads of things, you can see the pitfalls and see how to help them out quickly. Because everyone expects you to know everything as a makeup artist.
So funny, I flagged that part of your introduction where you wrote, when you're a makeup artist, people expect you to know everything and not just about makeup. Actually, I love your voice so much, I'm going to make you read this.
Oh, God.
Just read this.
But FYI, I'm dyslexic.
Oh, do you want me to read it?
Yeah, you read it.
Actually,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I flagged that part too about your dyslexia. Yeah. We're going to talk about that. When you're a makeup artist, people expect you to know everything and not just about makeup. I'm not a paramedic, a GP, a psychotherapist, or a dermatologist, but when something goes down on a shoot, I'm expected to sort out all problems, from black eyes to broken relationships. I become good at hiding imperfections, applying skin products as a temporary measure. There is no quick fix to achieve a perfect complexion. But I love that thought, that idea that, like, you really are expected to be able to fix everything.
I mean, I quite like that in a way. Because you do become a knowledge, you know? I mean, my boyfriend said something to me the other day and I said, oh, well, they probably might have a hernia. It could be internal bleeding. You know, I mean, I could have been on a house. And he went, but you're not a doctor. And I said, listen, I've lived enough and I have enough friends and things have happened. So I know that it could be one of these things. Of course I was right. It was a hernia. And it wasn't a him. It was someone else.
Well, before we started rolling, you said you maybe wanted to be a doctor at one point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I suppose, you know what it is? Within my job, I'm a solution solver. That's what people want from me. They don't want to hear, oh, I can't do that because their skin's not good. Or, you know, that's not going to happen. No one's interested in someone telling you why it can't happen. So you go, okay, this is what it is. Let's try and figure it out and let's try to solve it. And I feel like a doctor, and obviously I'm into the body, so it kind of fits. I mean, I love House. I always think, oh, they've got lupus. Don't tell me they've got lupus again.
With the TV show House?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that. I always think, oh, I wonder what, you know, I think I figured this out quicker than them. Yeah, so I suppose like that. I suppose all the studying I'll be rubbish at because I'm not great at reading and I'm much better visually, but I like chatting. as my assistant always tells me that I'm always saying.
So when this book came out last year, Eat Beautiful, the cover is so beautiful too. That's another reason why.
Oh, thank you.
I love a beautiful
design.
Tell
them publishers that.
I will. So when this book came out last year, I was really blown away on multiple levels. A, because it's so beautifully and logically organized. And two, I think it says a lot about where the beauty industry is going, that a makeup artist has done a book about nutrition and it's essentially a cookbook.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas in the past, like if it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you would have done a beauty book.
Yeah.
Teaching people how to apply makeup.
Yeah. I just think that's a little bit old-fashioned. You know, I think it's much easier to learn anything practically through watching it, you know, or on film. When you see drawings, it's not the same thing. And I wanted to include people. And I feel like, yeah, if it was going to be makeup, you need to show someone. Talking about it, it's not the same thing. You know, I always like, I mean, I said that now I've written a book about cooking because I actually like to watch people cooking and see what they do. And I said to the publishers when I'd done this book, I want a picture for every recipe because I need to see what it's going to look like at the end because that's really important for me. If it hasn't got a picture, I'm like, oh, I'm not doing that.
We said the same thing for the Cherry Bomb cookbook.
Yeah.
I always feel cheated when you don't get a picture for every recipe.
I mean, what's it supposed to look like? You know, what am I aspiring towards? You know, and not only that, you know, when you see food, I need to want to cook that. So it needs to interest me. So when I see something thrown together, I think there's no love in that. There's no love in that food. It's horrible. I want to first have the desire with the eyes and then it inspires me to make it, you know.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, Elemis. It's time for a superfood fact from Elemis Skincare. Did you know that flaxseed oil, which many of us blend into our morning smoothies or use in salad dressing, is so popular because of its high omega-3 content? When it comes to your skin, this ingredient helps reduce the appearance of redness, seal in moisture, and make your complexion look more hydrated and even. Flaxseed oil is just one of the nutrient-dense ingredients you'll find in the new superfood skincare collection from Elemis. Why not nourish your skin? Pick up your superfoods exclusively at Elemis.com and get 15% off your first order with the code CHERRY. So go back a second to where you said it's a little old-fashioned to just do a makeup book today. Part of what I thought when I was going through your book was the beauty industry is finally acknowledging that you really have, beauty really has to start from the inside on so many levels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, technology's changed and yes, you can have a good shot at doing makeup, but unless you want to transform who you actually are completely or erase your character, if you want to look just gorgeous and natural or just enhance and majorly gorgeous, you need to have a good base. And you can only so much you can do with skincare. It's a little bit about being kind to yourself. If you're kind to yourself and you eat well and you exercise, it's only going to come out. It's like when someone goes on the red carpet, I can make them up, but unless they feel good inside, there's nothing I can do about that. When someone famous kind of has a moment and they start to some reason look amazing, it's like something they've done to their face. It just comes from inside, you know, and you can't achieve that with makeup. You really can't. It has to, you know.
But I feel like everything has to be firing.
At the same time.
At the same time. You have to be eating well. You have to be feeling well.
Yeah.
You have to have the right skin. I mean, I love skincare. Yeah. You have to have the right skincare. And then makeup is great.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're using makeup, like you said, to hide everything.
Yeah, then it's a little bit, what's going on with you? I mean, it's funny. I had this kind of analogy the other day. There's actually four things that you need to work together. It's mood, sleep, exercise and food. And if any of them are off kilter, your skin's not going to look good. So listen, it's a tricky one to balance. You can try and get them as much as you can together, but you need to sleep because you're going to look tired and your skin is stressed. And stress, you know, you need to kind of try and be happy. And exercise will make you happy. And food will change your mood too. And it's just all about trying to be kind to yourself. If you were a car and you never serviced yourself, or you just kept on putting in crap all the time, it's not going to run well.
Right.
It's just the way it goes.
Or if you just keep taking the car to the car wash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
just
like the
washing
makeup.
It off, yeah. It looks nice, but inside it's a bit shabby.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you're not going to hang on to, as you get older, the cracks are going to form. And then, you know.
You really do realize that when you get older. I mean, I think we're about the same age. I'm approaching the half century mark. And you really do realize, like, you see stuff in your face that you never saw before.
Yeah, it's a bit like, what happened?
And if you don't eat well, for me, it's like when I eat too much sugar, don't sleep enough, drinking too much. I totally see that
in
my face.
Don't get me wrong. Have a good time. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying don't have a drink. Don't have a pizza. You know, you've got to enjoy life as well. But you'll probably find that you have that, like, I don't know, once a week or once every 2 weeks, and you don't feel that good afterwards. It was great at the time. Wow, amazing. I was everything I ever wanted. And then you think, oh, God, I feel really stuffed.
Like, oh, I'm never going to drink again.
Yeah, yeah. Or that hangover is so bad. I feel like a raisin now, you know. So, yeah, I mean, but, you know, I mean, enjoy life. You know, look at the Italians, they eat amazing food. It's all fresh. I mean, just go for it. Mm. But just try and, if you're going to have a pizza, have the best pizza. If you're going to have a cake, have the best cake.
Right. You know? My girlfriends and I say that to each other now. We'll be like, is it worth the calories?
Yeah.
Because
if
it's not, just pass.
Yeah, pause.
Until you find something that is
Gorge.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You do approve of tequila and natural red wine.
Yeah. I mean, I approve of drinking. I don't, you know, I think a lot, anything in excess is bad. But, you know, we all have our moments that we go through that, and that's fine. You just need to know when to rein it in. You won't look as good. That's just a fact. You'll look puffy. It's just a fact. I mean, I think if you're going to have a drink or you want that gorgeous cocktail, then have it. You know, life's for living. Or you want the champagne, have gorgeous champagne. You know, don't have, like, one that's makes your breath smell like sick. You know, I mean, you know, spend that little bit more, have that moment, make it gorgeous, because the better something is, you know, even if it's not so good for you, you will feel not so bad.
You know what? I'm going to channel you, because I love champagne.
Yeah.
I'm going to channel you next time I'm out drinking, and I'm going to have that one glass of really expensive champagne instead of the two glasses of the mediocre champagne.
Buy the bottle.
Why did it take me this long to
put that together? Buy the bottle of the gorgeous champagne.
And I'll drink the whole bottle.
Yeah, we'll share it with someone. You know, but enjoy it. Have fun. Enjoy it. And I'm sure, listen, if it's good champagne, you won't feel bad the next day.
I'm going to call it the row rule.
Yeah.
I'm going to invoke the row rule next time I'm out and get the expensive.
Yeah, go for it.
So I said the book is organized really beautifully and logically, and it's sort of more row rules in the beginning, but not really rules. I mean, I don't feel
I don't want people to
it does say Wendy's golden rules.
Yeah,
but they're not bossy rules.
No, I don't. Yeah. You know, I don't feather well with people bossing me around, and I don't like regimes that make you feel like you've done something wrong or you've mucked it up now, because then you just don't do it anymore. So I just say dip in, dip out, take what you want from it. The more you like it, the more you'll look at other things. But I you know, when someone's like a school teacher with me, I think I'm totally not going to do that. I don't even care.
But the rules are, they're really practical, like hands off. Especially when you're a makeup artist, like, not, I mean, you're touching people's faces all day, but people should not be touching their own faces. especially now because it's flu season.
Yeah.
Eat less and exercise more.
Yeah,
super logical.
I mean, it's kind of common knowledge, but, you know, it's like, it's basic stuff. But we forget. I forget. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying everyone's a dum-dum, but I forget sometimes. I think, oh, God, you've done that. You know, so it's kind of just reaffirming, and that's okay.
You mentioned tech-free diet.
Yeah.
What's that?
I mean, you know, just don't phones, computers. Listen, I'm not saying I don't do it, but I know that it's not great for me to fall asleep with the TV on. But I know if I meditate in the evening, I wake up feeling so much better. And I don't know why I don't do that more, but I just need to be in the right headspace. Sometimes I feel like, oh, I just want to go home and relax. I'm just going to watch telly. And I'm really trying to keep my eyes open. And then I just find I fall asleep. And I should have done a meditation, but I wanted to do the meditation after I watched some TV. But obviously it didn't get to there.
Tell me about your meditation practice.
Well, I do lots of different ones. I've got this app called Insight Timer. It's really amazing. There's loads of different meditations you can do. There's one lady called Sarah Blonde. She has the most amazing voice, and she has loads of different meditations you can do with her. I love her. I also do this other one by Melissa Rose, and that's a good one. And I know things change in my life every time I do that. It's weird. Why don't I do it every day? I don't know why.
Wait, you have to explain that a little bit more. Because,
well,
I'm going to
do it tonight. It takes you on a journey. You start off in one place. It takes you to your book of your life. You rip out a page of the part of your life that says that you won't achieve this, you won't do that. Then you go into a child kind of scenario, like a playground. And you're winning, or you're in the sandpit or whatever. And then you go skiing, and then you see the person that you would like to be, and you interact with them. Because I've imagined things and they've happened. And one of my friends gave it to me, and his life changed dramatically. Actually.
So this person's name is Melissa Rose?
Melissa Rose. Yeah,
okay, we'll tweet out.
Yeah, I hope I've got that
who
right.
Who that is. Yeah. Okay, we'll double check.
I like doing that, but I have to be in the mood, you know.
Sounds intense.
Yeah, it kind of is. No, it's not really, because you're just lying there, you know what I mean? And not thinking about your thoughts that rush through your head all the time, like, did I do that? Or, is that going to happen? What am I doing next week? What am I going to have for dinner? You know, just stuff. Why did they say that to me? Did they mean it like that? You know, all of this crap that goes on. So you just, like, going through kind of a pathway of events, which you can make however you want. But sometimes you want something to be good and your mind goes, oh, it's not, well, you tripped over then. I mean, you know, it's just crap. So, but you have to kind of like forget everything and do that. I normally fall asleep. It's fine. I wake up in the morning. I feel positive. It's good. The more you do it, the more things will change. It's just a mindset. I'm reading this really good book at the moment, actually, and it's called Being a Badass.
Being a Badass.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's quite good. And it's about your subconscious and your conscious, and how your subconscious is all from when you were born up until your teenagerhood, what people put in. And then when you, because your conscious mind is not developed until you're a teenager, and then obviously the logic comes in, but the subconscious is running the conscious, but you think the conscious is running you, and it's actually not. It's about your past beliefs. And when you start to understand what your past beliefs are, you can break that cycle. Yeah, I quite like things like that.
People are going to have to rewind this part and be like, what?
Yeah,
listen to it
again.
So you mentioned that you're reading, but you do have dyslexia, and you mentioned that in the book.
Yeah.
You're like, I never thought in a million years I'd have a book because I'm dyslexic.
You know, being dyslexic, you find ways around stuff. There's always a solution to solve. So you can hide it really well. I've hidden it at school really well. I mean, they didn't even realise that I was dyslexic. They just thought I was naughty and didn't want to do it. But if it was oral, I was good at it. But then when it came to writing, it took me too long. You know, I'd get words back to front. I'd have all the letters, but in the wrong order. It wasn't until I left school that I realised, well, I knew, because I'd been hiding stuff very well, that I couldn't read or write as well as I should have been able to, not with ease. God, I never really knew how much I hid this, and I've done a good job at it.
It makes me sad, and I hope in schools today that they recognise when kids are hiding it.
Yeah. It makes you good. You find ways around stuff. I think it's actually a good thing, because you adapt really easily and you'll always survive.
And you managed to gravitate toward the visual.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was just because I was not so good at writing and reading. Yeah. But I know I want things to look.
So back to the book. So you organize it by seasons, and you talk about different foods that are in season, each season, and the nutritional value of each. It's so wonderful. It's not overwhelming. I counted them. I think you have like 72 basically superfoods.
Yeah.
And you explain why they're great for you health-wise, why they're great for you beauty-wise. And then you give really simple recipes, really they're beautiful recipes,
but none
of them are that complicated.
Yeah, I mean, a couple are, but if you're into it, then you'll do it. But I do say at the beginning, if it's going to take a long time, because there's nothing worse than starting a recipe and then you get into it and they go, yeah, and that's an hour, and you just bake it for an hour, and I think, I haven't got an hour. And, you know, so I do say this will take some time. That number one, I like to have the calories in there because I want to know, and then I can choose. I try to make it simple because I think cooking and good food is a joy, and it's, you know, it's all abundantly there. So,
and a privilege. I mean, I really am. We're really so lucky to be able to eat beautiful food.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never take that for granted.
I suppose. But you just got to remember that it takes a little bit of time to prepare it. And, you know, a lot of the recipes in there also are not cooking, maybe just chopping, you know, so that's not so...
Well, I'm looking at the winter section because
that's
like
where
0 degrees at right now. And some cooking. So you've got, let's see, let me skip ahead to the recipes because I already picked what I'm making this weekend from your cookbook.
Okay, okay, okay.
The French onion soup.
Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. That's
so
one,
easy.
Yeah, that's one that I got from Paris. That's a great warmer fill-in and not many calories.
No, and your version is vegan, I believe. Oh, no, you have butter in there. It's vegetarian because you make it with vegetable stock.
Yeah.
And it looks so beautiful. And miso soup, so easy to make at
home. No, super easy.
And so much better than...
I mean, it's just a clear soup. I just think if you don't want to eat heavy at night or stuff like that, that's it's filling and you feel like it's wholesome, you know.
And you load it up with so many beautiful things. You've got the seaweed, you've got shallots, tofu, what else is in here? Scallions, fresh chives, watercress.
Yeah, I mean, just load it up.
Grated fresh ginger.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't have to use all that.
No, you can use alternatives as well. You know what I mean? It's not. That's not going to change the world if you don't have one ingredient. And I just think that you adapt. I mean, I made that fish pie the other day.
Tell us about the fish pie.
Yeah, I made that the other day, and I didn't have lots of different fish. I just made it with cod, and it was fine. You know what I mean? And you know,
explain how it's a spin, because when we think of like British fish pies, there's a lot of like flaky layers involved.
Oh, right. So,
not here.
Yeah. So, basically, it's a cream sauce, but I think it's made with creme fraiche. Is that right?
Let's see.
I mean, I made one with
sweet potatoes, butter.
That's the top rather than normal white potatoes.
Some skim, 1% milk.
Yeah. I mean, I think I made mine with creme fraiche the other day and milk.
Lemon, veggie stock, whole grain mustard, Parmesan cheese, whitefish, fennel.
Yeah, I didn't have any fennel, so I skipped that bit and I put in leeks. Do you know what I mean? You can just change it up. It's not gospel, but the basics, you've got to top that with sweet potatoes, much easier to digest, much better for you than a starchy white one. You know, If you haven't got a fennel, then use leeks or just, you can use anything green. Spinach I put in mine, you know.
And this, it looks so beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's, you're also a big proponent of eating the rainbow.
Yeah. I mean, bright colours, always good. You know, this time of year, this is the rainbow time of year. You know, it's all the root vegetables. It's all like the beetroots or the carrots or swedes.
Cabbage.
Cabbage. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I like green. I always think, oh, more green, more green. But, you know, the pumpkin, pumpkin soup's really good, actually.
Mm-hmm. All pumpkin. Pumpkin itself, the oil, the pumpkin seeds. But because you are Wendy Rowe, you also have a beauty section in here. We couldn't not have a beauty section. We have a little bit of time left.
Okay.
I mean, asking you for a beauty secret, it's like, where do you even start? but give us a tip or two.
Be kind to yourself. And just look at exercise as fun. I say in this book, stretching is like smiling and dancing or moving fast is like laughing. If you think about it like that, the body should need to do that. I would say beauty secrets is always a toughie.
Well, what makeup can't you live without? Because I'm looking at you right now and you don't look like you have any makeup on.
Yeah, I have a fit. But that's what I'm good at.
The no makeup makeup thing.
I have on a BB cream from Burberry. I have a little bit of concealer on. I have
whose concealer do you like?
A Burberry.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's right, right.
Yeah. And I have some mascara. And a little bit of a contour on my eye, and that's it.
Huh, I can't even see that.
Yeah,
wow.
Because it's... Because
you're a professional makeup artist.
Yeah, and I use the products that, you know, like are seamless. So it's not for you to see, it's just for me to look good, you know, and that's the art of great makeup, you know, or looking like you haven't got anything on but just looking great.
All right, last question because okay. I could talk to you like for another hour.
I'm up for that.
What would you say your superpower is?
You know, I was talking last night about this. I think it's my energy. I'm quite up and I have quite a lot of energy and it fuels me through most stuff. So, yeah, that would probably be it.
So if you could have, you've kind of Wonder Woman coloring, if you could have like a traditional superhero
I'll be Wonder Woman.
Skill.
No, but sorry. Like,
yeah, like Wonder Woman, she gets to fly around in that crystal plane. Like,
oh, right.
What, if you could have like a superhero superpower, what would it be?
Oh, God. Make this good, Wendy. Make it worth it. Like the cakes and all of that. I want to say,
the bubbly.
Instantly I would say to fly, just because it would be such a good feeling. Teaching people to love themselves, maybe. Because I think that's an ongoing saga with everyone in their life. And it would be a nice power to have. I mean, maybe that's a bit wanky.
That's beautiful.
But, yeah,
that's
you know. Beautiful. But, I mean, it's an ongoing... it's an ongoing thing for me and a lot of people, most people I know. I mean, I think it's like life's work, isn't it? Learning to love yourself. But if you could give that to someone, it would be great. I would be giving it out all the time. You just love yourself.
We have to think of your superhero name to go with that. Captain Love.
Yeah. Hearts are us.
wait, what was that?
Hearts are us.
Hearts are us.
Yeah.
Well, Wendy, now I'm even sadder that I haven't known you all along.
Aww.
Because you're awesome.
Oh, thank you.
And I feel like you probably make all the people around you better people just by everything you have to offer.
Well, I hope so. I mean, you know, I want to enjoy life. I want to be happy, you know, and I mean, well, life's for living, right? So let's do it.
Absolutely.
And have a great time.
Thank you for putting all your wisdom in this book and for sharing it with us.
Well, I've enjoyed this interview immensely. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Super Women, Super Foods, our mini-series about wellness. And thank you to Elemis for supporting Radio Cherry Bomb. It's time to feed your skin. Pick up the Elemis Superfood Skincare Collection exclusively at Elemis.com and get 15% off your first order with the code CHERRY. This episode was engineered by Dave Tatasciore. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and Heritage Radio Network. Before we get together again, I have one question for you. What's your superpower?